Good morning. Welcome to the Covenant Church, Thomaston. Great to have you here for worship today. This time of year, it's easy to see a little bit of the glory of God all around. And that's why we're here as well, to worship, to enter into God's presence. Well, a few announcements. If you didn't see in the bulletin, fellowship time is back downstairs. The coffee's on. There'll be some packaged goodies that down there too, so take time afterwards to connect with one another and have a cup of coffee, and you can step outside as well, so plenty of room, so that's wonderful. And with that, the church board also will meet after fellowship time, but in the gathering room. I'm sure you'll find it, so those who are on the leadership church board will meet in the gathering room. Because confirmation is happening today at 2, so we'll be getting the sanctuary ready. Five of our youth, Megan Campbell, Katie Grabber, Emily Morton, Jake Morton, and Caleb Whitney will be confirmed today. And they'll be beginning their faith journey. So, and three of the confirmads will become members. Their names will be presented to the church board today. Megan Campbell, Emily Morton, and Jake Morton. So we'll get them involved right away in church life. So it's all good. One more comes from the church leadership. We're going to have a suggestion box in the back. We found kind of an old offering box from long ago, and we'll fix it up a little bit. Cards will be available in the pews. Diaconal will take care of that. So if you have any recommendations, suggestions, words of encouragement, or just as we're coming back together to the one service, we'll take those to heart, and you can use that box, or you can always reach out to myself, one of the pastors, one of the leaders of the church too, directly. Well, are you ready to continue in our worship? Stand if you are able, but let us worship the Lord.
Thank you. Let's join in a call to worship. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. All the gods. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring offering and come to his courts. Worship the Lord in holy splendor. Tremble before him all the earth. Let us sing. Hallelujah to the Lord. Sing hallelujah, hallelujah. Sing hallelujah to the Lord.
Would you join with me in prayer? I feel like we just need to take a couple of moments just to quiet ourselves before the Lord, to open up our hearts to him, and be still and know that he is God. Holy, holy Father, how awesome and mighty are you. How perfect in your ways are you, O Lord, that even when our hearts cry out to you, you are instantly faithful to turn your face and shine upon us. There's no place in our hearts that you won't go to free us. There's no place you won't go to be with us. You are our King, the Lord God Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, the one who says a word and it happens instantly. All of creation bows to you. It groans to you. It obeys you. You tell the wind where to blow and it goes. You tell the flowers to grow and bloom and they bloom. You speak and life comes forth. There is no one like you, Lord God. There never will be. And yet you have called us each by our name to come and serve you and to be a child of the Most High and loving God. for you know us each so intricately, deeper than we will ever know ourselves. And you open your arms and you tell us how much you love us. You pour out your love on us. And you tell us just to come. Because you are the one that loves us to the depths of the earth. You are the one who will never leave or forsake us. You are the one who walked through the fire for us, who hung on the cross for us, who died and rose again, so that we may be face to face with you one day. Oh, Lord God, you are holy, holy, holy. We come and we worship you. We stand in awe of your presence. Our knees buckle at the glory of God. And we just bow down and worship you, Lord. We worship you for who you are, in spirit and in truth, Lord. And we come now together and we honor you with the prayer that your Son taught us to worship you. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Good morning. Our first reading. Oh, I need my glasses. Sorry. I'm good, but I'm not that good. No, I didn't try to memorize. If I needed to, I would have. All right. Sorry about that. We are reading from the book of Psalm, number Psalm 27, found on page 437 in your pew Bibles. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and foes, they shall stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise up against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I asked of the Lord that I will seek after, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high on a rock. Now my head is lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. Come, my heart says, seek his face. Your face, Lord, do I seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger, you who have been my help. Do not cast me off. Do not forsake me. O God of my salvation, if my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Do not give me up to the will of my adversaries. For false witness have risen against me, and they are breathing out violence. I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Our next reading comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. Mary anoints Jesus. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume, but Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you don't always have me." To kill Lazarus. When the great crowd of the Jews learned that he was there, they came not only because of Jesus, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests planned to put Lazarus to death as well, since it was on account of him that many of the Jews were deserting and were believing in Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Teaches us is
Let us pray. Oh, Lord Jesus, we just thank you so much that you love your children. We are all, every single one of us, your children. What a blessing that is to each and every one of us. Sometimes we don't quite understand, and we think you can't love us because of our past. You've already dealt with that. And you do love us. You pursue us. Oh, Lord, for that we give you so much thanks. We praise your name to others. Always, always taking your love out of this house to give away. Lord, we thank you for each and every one of us. We have great news for Millie this day. She is 8 days from her surgery. Everything's been checked off. So, Lord, we just pray for everyone who's going to be involved with her surgery and with her care as the time approaches, that her surgery and recovery time will be just way shortened because you are in the midst of all of them. Oh, Lord, we just thank you so much that she has been so patient and so just following through one doctor at a time to get this clearance so that she can walk once again well. Oh, Lord, there's so many others in recovery, still in recovery, will be in recovery. We don't always know all the names, but we know that our storms are happening constantly, that we no more than get out of one, then we're back into another of some kind. Lord, help us to be strong in the midst of that with you in us being our strength. We can walk through any storm, no matter how wild the tempest may seem. So, Lord, we thank you this day. We thank you and bless your holy name that you are in our midst, working among us. Little miracles here and there. Lord, help us to be outspoken. Speak this out, what we've experienced when you get into us and make a difference. It's always so wonderful to hear such testimony of your work within us because we know that you are never not working. You are always at work among us. Help us to respond to that and just to love you with all of our hearts and let the worldly things just fall away because you are the most important thing in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yes, the goodness of God. What flows out of the goodness of God from his children? Spontaneous acts of kindness, you know? So much of that happens in this church, you know? A lot of times you don't know about it unless you're the recipient of it, right? Gifts, a blessing, sacrifice, time spent, someone that serves, you know, over and above. Some of you do this all the time. Many out there, believers, responding to the goodness of God. Just a spontaneous act of kindness. And it's often it's done, you know, one-on-one. It's in private. And maybe you've been the recipient and you knew, you know, the timing of this seemingly random act, but a spontaneous act. You knew it was from God. It was God's timing. Just in unbelievable ways. And God has used you at times to do that as well. You show up, or you make that phone call, or you send that card, and it's exactly God's timing. It becomes prophetic. All kindness, love, and mercy, it flows from God. He just wants us to get into that stream and participate all the time, all the time. Our focus is upon him. He is the one we worship. He is the one that we serve. It's not anybody else. And we respond to the goodness of God that's running. Is the goodness of God running after you today? And I think he's running after, the goodness of God's running after all of us in a wonderful way. Some spontaneous acts are more public. How about the children? You know, sometimes we have to restrain them. They'll go running up to any dog in the park, and, you know, you're kind of wondering what's going on with this, you know, your child, your grandchild, or your babysitting. And what it does, it connects families. It connects people. You know, it's an amazing opportunity. You know, the dog owner and the child's parent, they become great friends, or it's an opportunity for ministry. You know, somebody is sick. Somebody's in need. And it was because that child did something very spontaneous. You know, parents, we generally are protective, and we restrain such boldness. I think I did all the time. Said, no, Maya, don't go over there, you know, when she was really young. Yeah, okay, I'll share this. Neighbors across the street in Ohio, they wanted nothing to do with God. And Maya, when she was really young, she always wanted to go running over there. They had a dog. But maybe God was trying to get our attention, my attention, to go over there, even though they didn't like God or want to be part of God's family. Anyway, children, they want to help the poor, beggars on the streets, the homeless in the winter, bringing them, you know, giving them shelter, bringing them coats, blankets. Some of the kids in our church, you know, you've been part of that. And if Holy Spirit is prompting us to take action in these ways, like the children, it will be a blessing. And it will also potentially be prophetic in a powerful way, right from the heart of God. Even though it may elicit diverse responses, as we see with Mary of Bethany in John 12. And Judas, you know, he rebukes her. We don't hear about the other disciples, what they were thinking when Mary stepped out in this bold, spontaneous act of goodness and kindness. But Judas's true colors are revealed. It says he's a betrayer and he'd been a thief. He wanted nothing to do with helping the poor. But Jesus lifts up Mary's actions. She was taking part in God's will unfolding. You know, kind of a sad story, it seems, that what's going to happen this next week. But it's all part of, she was participating prophetically in what God was doing, God was allowing, as Jesus was sacrificing himself, putting his whole life on the line for all of us. And think about it. Mary probably already had a friendship with Jesus. Probably had known him for, you know, the 3 years. Her her sister Martha, you know, and Mary, they were so thrilled that Jesus had just raised their brother from the dead. Talk about a dramatic, powerful sign from God. That was just in chapter 11. Many believed in Jesus after that. But that's when the authorities began to plot the end of Jesus' life. And even Lazarus, because Jesus had raised him from the dead. But we know that Jesus said, they don't take my life from me. I lay it down. I lay it down. But Jesus went into hiding. If you read the end of chapter 11, verse 54, he goes to Ephraim. He's getting out of the public eye because it's not his time. It's almost his time. You know, we're a week away. It's his time coming up. So maybe the raising of Lazarus was, you know, we don't know the time period before he shows up again in Bethany. So a little time there. So he goes with his disciples. But what can we learn from Mary's actions, her devotion? Well, first they reveal what it means to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ. You know, the sacrifice, the gift of love, and yes, a prophetic act. It comes from her knowledge of Jesus, knowing who he is, who he truly is. He is Messiah. And we know that Mary chose to be instructed by Jesus, you know, at his feet. In another gospel, she chose the most important place. Martha served, and Mary just wanted to sit at the feet of Jesus, like oblivious to all the chores and things that need to go on. She just wanted to be at the feet of Jesus. But she recognized who he was. And when he was present, nothing else mattered. That's important to know, to think about. Nothing else mattered. She pressed in by faith to be at his feet. Everything else was put aside. Now, we also read Psalm 27. Consider David. His relationship with God. He gives us deliberate actions we can take to become more of a true follower of Jesus Christ. We knew that he was always in the face of great danger, and that's when he wrote his best stuff, the worship music, the Psalms. Enemies all around, but he says in verse 4, "One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord, to seek him in his temple." And that's the glory of God. Just to behold his glory. You know, David said, "I need a touch of his glory today. There's enemies all around." In verse 8, he said, "My heart says, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek." And verses 13 and 14, "I remain confident of this, that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." And he says, "Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Take heart. Wait for the Lord." Great faith and prayer. Recognizing God's presence, recognizing Jesus in John 12, Mary, an incredible prophetic act. In John's gospel, the recognition or revelation of Jesus is connected to his glory. It's the glory of God. He's the Son of God. He is God. And God's glory is revealed in him. John 1, the disciple John wrote this, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of God, the Father, full of grace and truth." Yes, Jesus was with them, and they saw it. They were touched by the glory of God. Jesus revealed it again and again. We know that the glory of God, though, it resided in the tabernacle or in the pillar of cloud in the wilderness, you know, and then the tabernacle, and, you know, the cloud would just descend upon that holy tabernacle in the wilderness. You know, and then it was in the temple when that was built. David wrote in Psalm 26, verse 8, "I love the house where you live, the place where your glory dwells." But now in John, The glory is visible in Christ. In Jesus Christ. Because the experience with Jesus, the experience of the glory is very concrete. It's not a mystical vision. It's taking up a tangible form. Jesus touched and healed, and others touched him, the woman who touched the hem of his robe. If I only can just touch, I'll be healed. The glory of God. Many believed, and their life was changed, empowered. John 2, Pastor Gary preached on Jesus turning the water into wine, his first sign, and the scripture says he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. In The Chosen, when Jesus changes the water to wine, he tells everybody to get out. He's the six jars of purification filled with water. And he kind of said, Mom, it's not my time yet. You know, the God's timing. And they have him say in the movie, it's not in the scripture, but I love it. I think it fits with it. You know, Father, I'm ready. Because when you begin to reveal the glory of God, it sets things in motion. But a powerful miracle. John 11:40, outside the tomb of Lazarus, Jesus says to Martha, did I not say to you, if you believe, you will see the glory of God? Jesus knew he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. Did I not say to you that if you only believe, you will see the glory of God? Lazarus. And in John's gospel, this is the seventh sign and the last sign. The public ministry ends with the raising of Jesus from the dead. There's no more miracles. Because it's time for Messiah to be glorified, the full glorification, the cross. The recognition of Jesus and his glory. So John 12, it's the home of Martha and Mary and Lazarus. It's a Shabbat meal too, if you think about it. Most likely Saturday night. So the next day, we know it's the triumphal entry. But he's at the house during Shabbat. And Bethany is just a few miles away from Jerusalem, so he's come out of hiding. He's coming back into the public. He knows the authorities are looking for him. He's just miles away. Now his time has come, the last week of his earthly life. But he's in the house. Says they made Jesus supper. The disciples are there certainly as well. What a beautiful picture. Martha's serving. That's what she did best. She's serving. And she's probably full of joy, that hospitality gift. Lazarus is reclining with him, delighting in this new resurrected life. I mean, who wouldn't? His friend, he's so bound to Jesus now. And then Mary is prompted. She's ready to be spontaneous. But why is that? Why is that? Is she sensing the danger? She knows the timing of what's going to happen? Probably not. She knows something's up. Does she have joy? Or both? Fear? She does know the plotting of the authorities. They've been talking about it. They're looking for Jesus. Let us know when you see him. They're going to take Jesus out and Lazarus, her brother. Did you know that Bethany means house of affliction? A stop on the way, 6 days before his death on the cross, his crucifixion, he stops at his friend's house in Bethany, which means house of affliction. The suffering servant of Isaiah 53:4, it says, surely our griefs he bore and our sorrows he carried, yet we esteemed him stricken, struck down by God and afflicted. In John, Glory was not just a display of power raising Lazarus from the dead. Can you imagine that? But the glory of God is found in suffering and in humiliation, as in the cross, which became Christ's glorification. The glory of God. Ultimately, yes, for Mary, it is his glory that she is responding to as Messiah. She has been touched. Her life has been touched, been changed. I was kind of looking for songs around the glory of God, and I came across a song on YouTube, a little worship time, by Show Me Your Glory by Brandon Lake. It's at the Leland House of Miracles, kind of like a potter's house, a house of worship, where they're just, it's about 15, 16 minutes. Brandon Lake, it's a powerful little video. And it's based on Psalm 27. One thing I ask, that which I seek, show me your glory. It's just real simple. This, that scripture, show me your glory. Show me your glory. Beautiful worship song. And it must be spontaneous because if you look up the words to show me your glory, what they were singing next wasn't in there. It's like, well, wait a minute. But sometimes it's good to be spontaneous, even in our worship. So another singer, maybe it was Brandon Lake, I don't know. It's the one with the long hair. Is that Brandon? Okay, so the keyboardist was singing the other part. So Brandon Lake, he starts singing. It's like he was singing the words that Mary of Bethany could have been singing. He says, when his glory's in the house, nothing else is needed. When his glory's in the house, nothing else is needed. And he says, he sings one time, when your glory's in the room, nothing else is needed. Just you. Just you, Jesus. When his glory's in the house, when your glory's in the church, nothing else is needed. Oh, that your glory would be in our homes. That your glory would be in Guatemala with the kids and the staff. Oh, that your glory would be with the homeless. Let your glory fill the convalescent homes, oh Lord. Nothing else is needed. Well, for Mary, touched by the hand of God, by his glory in various ways, different ways, what she saw and the raising of her brother, and what she was taught, something was released in Mary to do what she did. A prophetic act, sacrifice, abandon. And her prophetic act is also related to a prophetic word. Those of you know John 11, we have to go back there. A word of prophecy was given. And Mary didn't know about it, but the way things come together, when a prophetic word is spoken 100 years ago or a day ago, if it's God's timing to be fulfilled, it will be fulfilled in God's timing. So in John 11, there's a prophetic word by Caiaphas, the high priest. After the raising of Lazarus, it brought about a crisis for the authorities, the popularity of Jesus, like, oh my, the sheer power of this sign and this miracle. So they had to have an emergency meeting. The ruling council, the Sanhedrin, in John 11, 47. And after some discussion, Caiaphas says this, 49 to 50, said, you know nothing at all, or nor do you take into account that it is expedient for you that one man should die for the people, that the whole nation should not die. It goes on, 51, not knowing, but he was prophesying that Jesus would be put to death. And verse 53, from that day on, they planned his death. So Mary's deed, like Caiaphas's words, bears meaning probably well beyond their intent. But that's what prophecy and the prophetic are about. So her act is a fulfillment in part, the suffering and death and passion that Jesus will be going through. We can see that, that it's part of that, anointing Jesus for his burial. Some commentators say, well, wasn't he also anointed as king? He has his triumphal entry the next day. Yes. But his passion begins after this anointing, the arrest, the trial, torture, crucifixion, all in the next 6 days. Something was released in Mary. She had a special gift, something for Jesus, an expensive alabaster jar, the pure nard that Lisa was talking about. Most likely, though, she poured it on his head. You know, it wasn't a foot washing. This was an anointing on his head, and it spilled down upon the clothing and probably got on the feet. You know, if you kind of connect these with the other anointings of Jesus, there would certainly be a mixture of tears. You know, that kind of an act, just vulnerability and in worship that, you know, she wiped the mixture of oil and tears off his feet with her hair. It's extravagant, and, you know, there's abandon in it, in this. Is it reckless? Judas thought so. But Jesus said, leave her alone. It was saved from my burial. And the fragrance filled the house. His glory brings about a beautiful prophetic act. A sweet aroma fills the house. A sweet aroma pleasing to God. You know, our actions, our spontaneous acts of kindness, and even trying, you know, you can't manufacture something prophetic, but being close to the Lord and just, you know, open to prophetic acts that would happen spontaneously. It's a sweet aroma to God. It pleases God. True prophetic acts happen spontaneously. And it doesn't matter if it makes people uncomfortable. You know? Or we wonder why we acted in a certain way. Why did I do it that way? Well, if we're touched by God, there needs to be a response. Last summer in Potter's house, There were some powerful times of prayer and many times of just a lot of silence. But Heather Jones was leading, you know, for a number of weeks where she would play, you know, maybe for 20 minutes or a half hour. She has a real gift of leading in songs. But at the end of the hour and a half of prayer time, she went back to the keyboard and she was playing the blessing, you know. Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine. We know that song, beautiful version of Aaron's prayer and blessing. But we found ourselves, a number of us, getting up and walking around downstairs at Potter's house, you know, kind of singing those words. And it, you know, it's a blessing, you know, to your children and the children's children, and, you know, knowing that God is for you, he's for you, he's for you. And we found ourselves, you know, extending hands out to the north and to the south and to the east and the west, and just singing and praying and decreeing and declaring words of blessing. And I tell you, something was released. I know it was. We need more of that. We need more times like that. God's time is now as well. The heavens are opened. His presence, his glory, never more tangible. Joel's prophecy in chapter 2, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. It's happening, folks. It's time to respond with spontaneous acts of kindness. Yes. Sacrifice, love, service, worship, prayer. It's time for the harvest, reaping that which we have not even sown. The prayers of our grandparents and our great-grandparents. The harvest is coming. Their prayers will be answered. So we need to press in, lean in, seek the Lord, his face, as our audience of one. Mary of Bethany, she had an audience of one. She didn't care. Nothing else mattered, right? Every day is the Lord's. What do you have for me today, Lord? We meditate on his word, spend time at his feet in that way, devoted to prayer, to listening, and responding in obedience. You know, seeking the Lord's guidance. Who are we to serve in the community? And now there's no greater time than right now than to be responding in the community, at work, school, home, our own neighborhood. No idleness. Everyone steps up. The glory of God demands all of us and our all. No one sits on the sidelines, folks. In the Lord's church, everybody steps up in their own unique role. All are called, all will serve. It's time to prayer walk our neighborhoods. Even driving around, stretching out hands and praying for the businesses, praying for the schools, praying for the doctor's office, praying toward homes, people we know, people we don't know. A number of you have been a big part of prayer walking. It's time to be doing this again. Because when we do that, it'll be like the little girl with the dog that meets the family. You know, we meet people. God brings us to people who are in need. Today, let us believe the Lord is showing us his glory as he did to Mary. Amen. We're going to sing a chorus 3 times. You probably know it. It's in the bulletin, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. As it played, we'll sing it 3 times. And then there'll just be a moment of silence after that. Then have our prayer.
Lord Jesus, as we turn our eyes upon you, when your glory comes and shines through, Boy, it certainly does seem like everything of this world just falls away. Because you are all we need. And as we come forward and we give our tithes and our offerings, Lord, and even as we give our time and our giftings that you've given to us, we can release that in knowing that you are all that we need, that you will supply every need we have, whether it's financially, whether it's in our weakness, you will make us strong. Whether it's in sickness, you will strengthen us. Whether it's walking in what you've called us to do, you will give us boldness and you will ordain our steps. Because when we focus on you, Lord, nothing else matters. When we all come together as one full body and we focus on you, Lord, you release your glory into your church. You shine brighter than the rising sun. And you make us all look more like you. So, Father, we lay it all down for your glory. All that we come, that we can offer. All of ourselves, we give it to you and say, Lord, take it. Use it, refine us, change us, mold us. Let your face shine on us. Let your glory fill this place. Let it pour out into the streets and into this world. Let us be your reflection, Lord. And let us rest in knowing that you are all that we need and you will provide every single thing in just the right timing. And we thank you that we can depend on you, but we thank you that you have called us to serve you. We love you, Lord, and we worship you, Father, for you are so good. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're able to stand, join together in our doxology, please.
We had a time of fellowship now and church board meeting, probably a half hour or so. And but the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.